I also want to share with you where we're going a little bit this morning, just for a minute. What is the mission of Family Prayer Center? Number one, we are what? A house of prayer. How many know that Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer"? We're people of that love God and love people. Do you love God? He said, love the Lord your God, what? With all your heart, with all your strength, with all our might, and love our neighbor as ourself. And we are doing our best to make disciples that change the world. Amen. Who wants to be a disciple of the Lord? Amen. And as you become His disciple and surrender to Him and find your purpose, like we talked about last week, amen, you'll be a world changer. Hallelujah. Welcome this morning, world changers. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's our really just our mission from the Lord, to be a place of prayer where we can understand that, and we are doing our best to reach this city, bringing people to relationship with the Father and with fellow believers. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how we're going to, part of our vision now. That was our statement. We love God. We're a house of prayer. We love God. We love people. And we make disciples that change the world. Okay. And how are we doing that? We're bringing people into relationship with the Father and with fellow believers. Amen. We have worship. We worship. We have the kind of worship that flows freely. Amen. In freedom and the power of the Holy Spirit that brings people into the throne room of God. How many want to go past just your natural flesh where you don't sense anything, but we're letting the Holy Spirit come, letting God invade us in our worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Choosing, as our sister said this morning, to worship God as a matter of our choice. And how many know as you continue and as we grow in worship, His presence comes. He says, God comes when we worship Him. Amen. He said He inhabits, in other words. That means what He's talking about there is not that God's not here. Everybody says, well, God's everywhere. Yes, He's here. He's everywhere, isn't He? He's always present. We know that. But when we're talking about the presence of God coming, we're talking about where we sense Him, where we can tangibly know that He is with us and in our midst. And He says that He will inhabit the praises of His people. And of course, we're bringing instruction to believers in the Word and in prayer, the power of prayer, and enabling people so that they can begin to what? Walk in the full authority of Christ. Who wants to be like Jesus? Amen. That's what a disciple is, isn't it? Someone that's pressing in to be like Him. And so we want to be growing and thriving church that, you know, to where we are a pillar of uncompromising truth in a dark and dying world. Amen. How many think the world's kind of dark and they need Jesus? Amen. It's not kind of dark. It's getting very dark, isn't it? We talked a little bit about that Wednesday night. We may talk some more. Praise the Lord. And of course, we're a house of prayer, a beacon of light and love in St. Thomas and all of Canada. And we want to support all who hunger for God and for revival. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, yesterday we joined in with Canada Rise and had prayer, had a couple hours of prayer for the nation of Canada. So we're believing God, and if you're not from Canada, believe for your nation. Help us believe for our nation. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, we've got people from all over. And Larissa, welcome to Canada. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're glad to have another Canadian. Amen. Hallelujah. We're all moving forward in the things of God. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad that we are. Praise God. Well, how many remember what we were talking about last week? Anybody remember? We were talking about a little bit about purpose, finding our purpose in God and finding our place. Hallelujah. We were talking about purpose last week. Sorry about that. I was trying to find my place here. All right. Glory to God. And I don't know about you guys. I want to share this morning a little bit more because it's September. That's not really the reason why, because the Holy Spirit's saying do that. What I think is good sometimes when we look, like we did last week, at some of the basics that we are working with and working on in our lives. Amen. Now, when I first became a Christian and then later in my life, I received the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues. I had all kinds of ideas about who the Holy Spirit was and what that meant. And I think, sometimes people have the idea, we said last week even, that first, they don't really pray in tongues unless they get all worked up, and they get themselves all worked up and they're praising God and they go higher and higher and then all of a sudden they burst out in tongues for a minute and that's as far as they go. They quiet back down and, that's as much as they really pray. And then we have other people that don't believe we can pray at all in tongues, don't we? Some say, well, you can't pray at all. There's all kinds of ideas about praying in tongues, but I later learned that that's not the case. Where did you learn that, Pastor Doug? I learned it from the Bible. I learned it from the Bible. How many want to have Bible results in your life? You want to understand what the Bible has to say. Sometimes I think we get caught up and we live life and we learn some things, but sometimes it's good for us to go back and take a look at what God has said in the Bible. Put your eyes on what the Bible says and we'll be all right. Because sometimes I think, even myself sometimes, we get to thinking we know that verse. But how many know that sometimes when you read a verse more than once, it comes to light to you? The first time you may get a certain amount of light. It may mean one thing today, but as you're moving forward, you gain a fuller meaning. It becomes more to you. It becomes alive on the inside of you. And the Word of God, the more we meditate on it, we begin to understand the whole counsel of God. And sometimes we learn verses that affect us and they are great for that moment. But as we continue to know the things of God, they become even more real to us. How many have ever realized when you got born again, you knew, hey, God loves me? Yeah. And sometimes we know it in our mind. Hey, God loves me. Well, how do you know that? The Bible said God loves me. Amen. Amen. He says he's loved us before we were ever born again. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yet sometimes, even though we've experienced or we've tasted of it, has anyone ever tasted of God's love since then? And it just seemed more sweet to you. You just begin to get a greater understanding. I know that for me, that was true. I knew God loved me. But how many know it's different when you experience it in yourself and for yourself? And the truth is that sometimes we have to experience the Word of God for ourselves. Even though we hear something that's preached, and I teach today, how many know you still have to let the Holy Spirit speak it in your heart? You have to receive it, and you have to make it a part of your life. And that's true even in speaking in tongues. So the truth is not as much, there's not much taught on about praying in tongues, is there, in the body of Christ as a whole. How many people, I mean, I can tell you when I was growing up exactly how many messages I heard on praying in tongues from the time I was a baby I think I was in church at 6 days old to somewhere around 18 years old. And I could tell you the number of messages I heard about praying in tongues right now. Do you know how many it was? It was zero. Absolutely zero. That tells me that there are many people in the body of Christ that have heard little or nothing about praying in other tongues. Now, I did read it in the Bible a little bit, but I didn't understand what it was. I thought it was the Holy Spirit out here somewhere praying for me, and that's not true either. So, there's much misunderstanding, I think, in the church that exists regarding the working of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. How many believe that? Know that? I'm just saying, in our group, I'm not saying within us, we have a large understanding, but many people do not understand it, and sometimes they're just so afraid they don't even want to look at it. Or they've been told lies from the enemy, that's not for you, or that's only when the Spirit moves on you, or that's just for some people and not for others. And even I believed that for a while. Anybody else believe that? I thought, well, some people do and some people don't, and that's the way it is, but that's not true either. I mean, it is in the sense that some don't pray in tongues, but they can. It is for all, in other words. I'm just saying it's for everybody. So the operations of the Spirit cannot be understood with the natural mind, can they? And that's really where the trouble comes, is people try to understand the Bible with their natural mind instead of listening really to their heart or to their spirit. For instance, it's foolishness in the natural mind to think that speaking in a language that neither you or anyone else understands will not only edify you and enlighten you to the things of God, but will launch you into fulfilling your divine call. It will launch you ultimately to fulfilling your divine call, what God called you to do in the earth, your purpose. Now you say, well, I don't know. Maybe you're far from that. Said, I've got other things in my life, and sometimes people say, well, I've got to clean myself up so I can receive the Holy Spirit. I've got to clean my life up, and then I'll start praying in other tongues. But how many know the Holy Spirit is your helper, and He has come to help you clean your life up? And if you'll start praying in the Holy Spirit, no matter if you're way out here, caught in some sin, or if you're way over there, caught in some religion, or if you're somewhere else and you don't know where you are, the Holy Spirit knows where you are and what the plan of God is for your life. And if you begin praying in other tongues, He will bring you ultimately into that plan if you'll be consistent. If you consistently pray in tongues, it is impossible for you not to begin to at least know what God's plan is for you and for Him to help you. He's not there to condemn you. He's not there to tell you you're not going to make it. That's the enemy's work, isn't it? He's there to strengthen you. And the Bible said, we said last week, building up ourselves, Jude 20, on our most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit or praying in other tongues. You're not like these people that are faking it and saying God, you know, and bringing out deceptions. But Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, verse 19 says, these were they. He's talking about people that were coming in and bringing in false teaching to the church. Things that weren't so. saying, hey, anything goes, any kind of lasciviousness. You can do whatever you want. And God's going to just overlook it and He'll forgive you. And He does. The provision for your forgiveness has been made. But you yourself, you are the understood subject. If you will confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we must take responsibility for our actions, and we must confess. So here He's saying, you're not like these who separate themselves, walking according to a sensual life. In other words, what they feel, what they see, what they taste, what they touch. They don't, not having the Spirit of God in them, the right Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in other tongues. Letting God strengthen you on the inside and change you. I've talked to too many people. I've seen it in my own life where there's things that were not right with God, and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal those truths to you and change you from the inside out and bring a permanent change to where you don't go back to that anymore. Maybe you were bound with anxiety. Maybe you had a lot of fear in your life. I did in my life. And the Holy Spirit, I didn't even know I had it there. I didn't realize it was dictating to my life. But when I began to see it, the Holy Spirit helped me to axe that out of my life. Now, yes, praying in tongues brought me to that place where I saw it. And He strengthened me. And actually, He built me up above it. But then He and I together still have to say, no, I resist that, and I had to put the Word of God in me, and I had to beat it out of my life with the truth of what God's Word said, that I have not been given a spirit of fear, but I have a power, love, and of a sound mind, and He can bring a permanent change. It takes the Spirit and the Word of God. See, they agree. They are one. The Holy Spirit doesn't do something apart from the truth of the Word of God when we realize who we are. We've been changed. We become sons and daughters of the living God. You actually are born from above. Your spirit man, the inside man, was changed from darkness to light. And now you can walk as a child of God because you can understand Him. You can understand the Bible. You can understand what God is saying in the Holy Spirit. Will be one that continues to help you to do that. And we talked much about that, more about that last week. We said out of our belly, John 7:38, will flow rivers of living water. Have you ever seen the power of a river? If you haven't, or maybe the waterfall here, if you go down to a couple hours down the road here and you look at Niagara Falls, have you ever seen the power of that river? And as it comes over the falls, it doesn't ever stop, does it? Day and night, there is a river that's flowing. And there's a power, so much so, that they have tapped into it and bring electricity to the earth, to different cities, to different parts of the nation and the world. Hallelujah. How many know that there's a power that flows from within you? God said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And Jesus said, rivers of living water, life-giving water is going to flow through you. Man, hallelujah. I've got a lot to say this morning. I better get to my notes here. But it was good. It's good, isn't it? It's good to pray in other tongues. It's powerful. It releases God's ability from the inside of you. Do you understand? You are changed. You are a powerhouse. You are God's building. You are His house. He lives in you. And when you pray, things begin to change. Not just in you, but we want to get His power what? Out here on my circumstance. We want to get His power where it's going to change us. From the inside out, change begins to take place. Sometimes we don't see that on the outside immediately. It may take a little time, but if we're consistent, if we're persistent, if we don't stop, and we keep praying in other tongues, we will see a change in our life. It is impossible. It is a spiritual law that God has set in motion. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which sets you free from the law of sin and death. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside that, and He empowers that nature that you receive, that new spirit that you receive, that born-again spirit, and out of you begins to flow one river after another. Hallelujah. Rivers of life-giving water. Whew. Glory to God. So let's explore a little further. Let's go to... we'll look a little bit further. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go there for a minute. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, I know a lot of you said, well, where did you find all this information? In the Bible, yes. Some of it I learned from Pastor Dave, but I looked it up in the Bible myself many, many times. And I've talked to many people about receiving the Holy Spirit. Especially when someone's struggling. I said, you need the Holy Spirit in your life to overcome. Especially in these last days. How many know the Bible says there are many voices in the world? Amen. We need Him to keep us focused and clear on where God wants to take us and what His Word is saying and us beginning to walk in it and empowering us. Hallelujah. Verse 27 says this, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Hallelujah. How many is a member in particular? Individually, in other words, you are a member of the body of Christ. We can say we're each an individual member. You belong to a body. That means you have a job to do. There's no parts in your body that don't have a job to do. Amen. Maybe you're the lungs and you breathe deep. You know how important your lungs are? You know, you don't really think about it. How many people, you know, every day you wake up, oh, thank you, lungs, for breathing. You know, no, we just kind of expect it, don't we? We don't really pay a lot of attention to it unless something goes wrong. So we are part of the body of Christ. Somewhere you may be a You know, maybe you're the little pinky on the hand. How many know your pinky's important? We don't pay a whole lot of attention to it till we hit it with the hammer, right? Oh, I missed. Boom. Ow! Oh, pretty soon, all the body comes into the air. Oh, you poor thing. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for my pinky. Suddenly, it's very important. But it's important always, isn't it? Amen. And when something's not going right, is when we kind of think about it. But you need to realize you're an important body. You're an important part to the body. Excuse me. We are a organism, a living being. So the body of Christ. And we have a local body here. And we each have that part to play, and we're thankful for that. It is important that we each find and play those things. And do our part. There are terms here. He says, verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and finally he says, diversities or tongues, or we would say, different supernatural flows of tongues. Different supernatural flows. So there's more than one flow. There are several flows. The reason the church world is confused over the subject of tongues is that believers generally, they try to impose the same set of rules on all the different operations or manifestations of tongues. They try to put the same rule on every manifestation of tongues. And to do so causes mass confusion among believers and misuses of the gifts of the Spirit, so that instead of being drawn to Jesus, sometimes the world doesn't want anything to do with us. They don't want to hear about it. Just looks like they're all confused to me. And sometimes that may be true for a while, but we're learning. Although many, you know, it says here diversities of tongues or different flows of tongues occur, some flow as the Spirit wills. Four basic manifestations outlined in the Word of God, and we know what they are, I know, but I want us to look at them anyway. When we see what the Bible says, it becomes clear to us and we begin to understand. Okay, the first one, 1 Corinthians 14:4, just right here, just the next couple chapters over here, 14:4, says this, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself," or builds himself up, right? "But he that prophesies edifies the church." So he that speaks in an unknown tongue, or speaking in tongues, edifies himself. So here we see this is a supernatural language that the Holy Spirit prays through us that we can use to pray anytime we want to, as long as we want to, as much as we want to, hour after hour, if we so desire. It accompanies the baptism in the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? When we receive the Holy Spirit, or we're baptized in the Spirit, we receive this tongues for personal edification, to build ourselves up. We can just begin to pray in that language, and it will strengthen us, and it will build us up. Secondly, now we'll get into some of these today, the tongues for interpretation. The next verse here, in 14 verse 5, it says, "I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, what? Except he interpret, that the church may be edified." Now this manifestation of tongues is normally used in a public assembly, accompanied by interpretation by the same or another person. In other words, like if we're here in this service and there was a, you know, someone has that urgency, say perhaps I did, or say this brother over here had that urgency and he gave a message in tongues that was to be interpreted. And so that would be like in a public setting normally. And so that is as the Holy Spirit wills. That's not one we can do whenever we want to, but it's when the Holy Spirit had come upon them to give a message to be interpreted in a public setting. Okay? And so like for a service, for example, is usually what happens. And then there's Romans 8:26, which is tongues for deep intercessional groanings. And some of us have experienced that here or seen that here in some of our prayer times. Everybody's looking at Pastor Doug like, yeah, I think you had that a couple of times. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise the Spirit," or the Holy Spirit, "also helps our infirmities," our weaknesses, our inability to produce a result because we're limited in this fleshly body, okay? Because we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groans which cannot be uttered, in other words, with our natural language. Why can't it be uttered? Because we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit begins to pray through us according to what? The will of God. And he takes hold together with us, the Bible says. In other words, it means to take hold together with against. If you're going into an intercession, it is that you can't make yourself go into a groaning and travail, but you're available. And if the Holy Spirit wills, he will move you into that place. And a lot of times as we grow with God, we may experience that. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, of course, there's tongues, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Go back there for a minute. Verse 22, I believe. Yes, 22. "Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." So he's saying here that there are times when a tongue, a message that is in a either a language that someone understands or you speak in tongues and they understand it in their own native language. We saw this. This was seen on the day of Pentecost over in Acts chapter 2. And we can see that verse 8, I believe, 7 and 8 here. Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says, verse 7 says this, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how do we hear every man in our own language wherein we were born, in their own tongue?" In other words, what they understood them, when they spoke in tongues, they understood in their own language. They heard them, what? Magnifying God. They were giving glory to God. They were amazed. How is it that we hear them in our own language? Because the Holy Spirit came. And it was a supernatural gift. Now, other times, I know this has happened to me that I know of one time. I was talking to an Indian man, or I should say Native American. Sorry. We used to call them Indians when I was a kid, but anyway, Native American. And he spoke a different language. And all of a sudden, I started talking to him. He answered me. And I talked back to him, and he talked back to me, and I'm not exactly sure what all, but he understood what I was saying. And I was like, wow, it was very supernatural. But that's not something I can make happen. It was just something that came upon me, and I sensed to do this, and he understood me and talked back, and we had a little conversation about Jesus, and he ultimately gave his heart to God. Hallelujah. It was a sign to what? An unbeliever. So that's what can take place. But the rules that govern the operation of tongues for personal edification, for you personally, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive that supernatural, sometimes we call it a prayer language to God. We receive that, okay? Tongues for personal edification, that's different than it is for the rules that govern tongues for interpretation, or tongues for intercession, you know, or tongues that is assigned to the unbeliever. So, each one, in other words, has a different set of rules, different manifestations, different rules. So we'll see that we can pray in tongues for our own personal edification. That's 1 Corinthians. Right, 12:4 there, he says, when we pray in tongues, we edify ourselves. Also, Jude 20, he said, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Spirit, or praying in other tongues. Though that we can do anytime we want to. We become the steward of that gift. And we see that also here in verses 14 here, 13, 14, 1 Corinthians 14 here. Let's go down to 14. It says here, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my mind is unfruitful. I don't understand what I'm saying. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. That's me or you, right? Yeah, that's a choice, isn't it? And he says, I will pray with the understanding also. How many here, when you pray and somebody asks you to pray over the food, you can do it? Amen. If you want to pray in tongues, then how many know you can do that anytime you want to? Once you're filled with the Spirit, you can pray in tongues anytime you want to. He said, I will pray with it. Pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. In other words, singing in other tongues, giving glory to God. And I will pray with the understanding also. So you, on this particular gift, we are stewards of the gift of tongues for personal edification, to edify your spiritual man anytime we want. Now the other three gifts, of course, I mean, this is the basic foundational operation of God, because it's designed by God to do for you what no preacher or teacher can do. It edifies you, builds you up on our spirit, in our spirit. Brings forth godly traits in us. You know, the love of God begins to become stronger in us. Divine insight into God's word, wisdom to know the right from wrong and truth from falsehood. The Holy Spirit begins to become our teacher and our helper because we're what? Being strengthened on the inside in our spiritual man. Because sometimes, how many know, even though you may be born again, you know, you could have a little spark in there. Anybody ever seen a fire, you know? You have a fire outside, right? And that fire goes down, doesn't it? After a while, you've got wood on there, but eventually it goes down. Maybe there's just a little glow left. Well, spiritually, sometimes, how many know, people can get so beat down, there's just a little glow on the inside there. And they're not strong, they're weak in their spirit, in other words. They've lost the fuel that they had. And so praying in tongues begins to fuel that. That's like the wind, you know, if you have those hot coals, you begin to blow on it and it begins to what? Fan in the flame. You put some more wood on there and you got the fire rolling again. Amen. We put the wood of the Word of God in there and we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and we fan into flame what God had begun in us. And we are renewed and more strengthened in our spiritual man. So praying in tongues is as supernatural as raising the dead because it does not originate with you. How many know you don't just make it up, but it originates with God? Now the devil will try to say, you're just making that up. How could that help you? How could praying into the air, you know, these syllables that your mind doesn't understand help you? Well, it's supernatural. That's how it helps us. And when we begin to pray, we begin to sense the difference and see the difference in our life. It begins, like I said, to bring forth what? The love of God. The truth of the Word of God begins to be more real to us. We begin to understand better. That's one of the first things that happened to me. Even though I had read the Bible a lot before I got filled with the Spirit, even as a teenager, memorized many, many verses. And I kind of understood. I had limited understanding. But the Holy Spirit began to bring it together and I began to understand. I said, oh, wow. I mean, I'm in a spiritual war. Yeah, you think you would know that, but hallelujah. It began, and truth of the Word of God began to come alive to me on the inside. And that's when, you know, we start getting excited because why? God is really teaching us. Sometimes we don't necessarily, what, hear a voice, but knowing on the inside, I'm understanding this. It's beginning to become real to me as I pray in the Holy Spirit. He becomes my teacher. And ultimately, because see, raising the dead, where does that source come from? It comes from God, doesn't it? It would be the same supernatural power that the Holy Spirit uses. The only difference is, you know, it is available to us at any time. The availability of that gift is there. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? You know, I mean, all nine gifts of the Spirit that 1 Corinthians talk about, you know, are available to us. But, you know, praying in tongues for our own edification is available what? At any time. Now, tongues that you operate in, this is what? At will. Anytime we want to, as much as we want to, immediately after we're filled with the Spirit, that is these tongues for personal edification, anytime we want. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I wish I could operate in some of the other gifts as I want. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, wouldn't that be fun to get on the elevator, you know, and let the word of knowledge operate, Lord. You know, what's going on? You know, you start telling them everything wrong with their life, you know. Oh my God, you must be a prophet, you know. But we don't. We gain things as the Holy Spirit can trust us. As we develop our relationship with God, some of these other gifts begin to operate and manifest as severally as the Spirit wills. Hallelujah. And we want to remember that praying in the Spirit or praying in other tongues never takes away from the Word of God. It doesn't take away from the Word of God. How many know that? The Spirit and the Word agree, and that is important. Because the Word of God is a sure what foundation. It's a sure Word of God. Instead, it builds up your spirit by giving us greater understanding of the revelation knowledge already contained within God's Word. Because the Holy Spirit prays through us, He is always in total agreement with God's Word. He's not against it. We've got to remember what God the Father, God the Son, and what? God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. It is God living in us. These agree as what? One. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit together. And He is the part of God that lives in us. And it is vitally important that we develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because He is the part of God that has been sent to help us, to teach us, to guide us, to lead us. It is here for our time. In the Old Testament, they never prayed in tongues. Did you notice that? Why didn't they pray in tongues in the Old Testament? They couldn't, because they were not yet born again. Their spirit had not yet come from death to life. God cannot live on the inside of them. He would just have to what? Cover their sin. And their salvation was in the belief that yes, the Messiah is coming. The one that will ultimately wash away all sin. And ultimately God's desire was to live within them like He does with us. But now here in our time, God has created a place that we can enter into in prayer. And this is the place where we can count it all joy when we fall into different temptations, tests, or trials. And we can do that because we've grown in our spiritual authority. Building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And we begin to learn how to change circumstances that come against us rather than to have the circumstances rule over us. Amen? Hallelujah. We are built above that. And we begin to move forward with God. So tongues for personal edification will also help develop our character in God. When you spend time praying in tongues, all that God is in you, to you, and through you begin to come forward. And He begins to help us overcome character flaws that may be in our fleshly life. Sometimes, how many know, sometimes it's not always fun to find out, if I'm the last one to find that out, Lord, that's not good. Everybody else, see, they already know. They already saw it. Maybe they saw it in you. Maybe they didn't. But perhaps they already saw it in you. But God requires holiness because His power operating through unholy character will eventually destroy a vessel through which that power flows. He wants us to have God, holiness, but He helps us to overcome those character flaws when we spend time with Him praying. And He begins to build us up and strengthen us to overcome. And tongues for personal edification is the only one, the only diversity, the only flow of tongues that we can operate on purpose just because we want to in order to arrive at a more mature state in God. It takes us from where we are to the place that God wants us to be, walking in Him in holiness and righteousness and displaying His character on the outside. See, sometimes we can have the love of God in us. Everybody says, well, the love of God shed my broad in my heart. How do I get it out here? We practice it and we let the Holy Spirit build us up in our understanding and our faith, and we let Him change us from the inside out. To where maybe on the inside we had unforgiveness. And He revealed to us and He helped us to what? Forgive, to release. And we gain a greater understanding of His love. We gain a greater understanding of who He is, His faithfulness to us, His ability to cause us to mature and to walk in what? That love, that joy. How many know it'd be good for more Christians to walk in joy? Amen. Well, I don't, you know, I love you, you know, but I don't want what you have sight unseen, you know. Well, you can know Jesus and be as happy as me. You know, they don't want that sight unseen. No joy in your life. A little joy is what God has given us. Peace that passes understanding. Well, Pastor Doug, are you walking in peace? Yes. Now, you asked me that a few years ago. Were you walking in peace? Yes. But I'm walking what? A greater peace, because I didn't have the peace that I had before to compare it to. It grows. I'm moving forward. Things are changing in my life. I'm going further into who I am in Him and who He is in me. And His purpose for your life begins to come to pass. And He changes you and brings you to a place where you will be a light to the world in a greater measure. He said, I have called you, I have empowered you that you might be a witness. And the more we spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, the changes that take place are a witness to those around you. And sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I see that. Well, keep watching. I told one guy one time, I said, well, you just keep watching. God's changing me. It's working. And sure enough, he came back. You know, he said, you're right. He is changing you. You know, hallelujah. You know, we can change. We can move forward. We can allow ourselves to be no longer ruled. What? By that sense ruled man, what we feel, what we see with our natural eyes, how we think with our natural mind, and we start thinking God's thoughts, and we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to build us up so that we're stronger than those things in our life, and we can walk free of them, ultimately axing them out of our life. And yeah, we may be tested a time or two. How many know the enemy comes to test your ground? But you're not where you were. You're free, and he can no longer control you in that area in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're running out of time today. I guess we're talking about tongues for personal edification again today. Finding, you know, and ultimately taking you to that place where you find your purpose in God. Praying out the mind of the Father. And it is a prayer, what? To be answered. If it wasn't going to be answered, what's the purpose in praying? But God tells us to pray. It is God Himself, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit Himself, praying through you back to the Father in Jesus, the perfect will of God, to bring certain things. A lot of certain things will come to pass just because you're praying in tongues. You didn't know you needed that, but He brought it anyway. Amen. And He begins to move and begins to help us and strengthen us in our understandings in the Word of God and in who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may pray in tongues, some may not. If you're listening today and you say, well, I want that. I need that power in my life. Amen. You heard me talk about that power that comes when you receive the Holy Spirit. Well, where did you get that? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you can be a witness for Him. And of course, Acts 2, 4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's a gift that you can receive. It's free to anyone and everyone. Say, well, you know, and I'd be glad to, if you need help understanding more, want to know more about that, we will be glad. We can pray with you today if you like, talk to you for a few minutes, or you can make an appointment, or you can just come see me sometime or see me here after church. We'll be glad to talk with you further, you know, about that. Give me a call, Acts 10. You know, we know when they They came to Cornelius' house. Peter went to Cornelius' house. And he began to preach the gospel to them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. He gives you the words to say. That's the supernatural part. You don't make it up. It comes to you supernaturally. And you speak it out of your mouth with your voice, with your tongue. That you giving God permission to operate, or giving Him authority to operate in your life. Amen. What He told me, He said, when you begin to pray in tongues, son, you're giving your life to Me. In other words, I'm surrendering my will to the will of God. Amen. And it's one way that He helps us do that. And there are other instances where they laid hands on them. Amen. Remember when they went down, Philip preached the gospel to them. Peter and John came down and laid hands on them. And they received the Holy Spirit, began to what? Speak with other tongues. And so it accompanies that wonderful infilling that God gives us. Now everybody says, well, can I be filled with the Spirit and not speak in tongues? Well, I mean, I can't say you can't. But you're filled up, but you can receive that overflow. You can receive that supernatural language. You know, I believe God, we receive by faith, right? Say, hey, I asked God to fill me. Did He fill me? Sure He did. Then you can pray in tongues. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You that we are encouraged this morning about the ability, the different ways that the Holy Spirit would manifest or would flow through us, Lord. We thank You, Father, for the tongues for interpretation, tongues for our own personal edification that we talked about today, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that we will use that more and more, and that You'll invade our lives, Holy Spirit. We welcome You, that the more we pray, the more we'll understand the Word of God, and we'll understand Your purpose and plan for our life. Lord, we give You glory and honor and praise that the truth has been made known to us, and that today, Lord, we're encouraged, we're strengthened in what we already believe, Father, and we're moving forward in that, Father, to fulfill all that You want us to do in this earth, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.